This morning, as we come and take a look at another one of Jesus' sayings of I am, and as we look at this morning, Brian talked last week about Jesus being the bread of life, and this morning we're going to talk about Jesus saying that he is the light of the world. You know, Jesus being the light of the world, we all know that, folks, but sometimes I think we lose our focus on exactly what is Jesus talking about, being the light of the world. What does he mean by that? Maybe we've never experienced Jesus Christ. Maybe you're still searching for Jesus and you haven't realized that the light that Jesus brings is the light that we don't sometimes see or understand. I know before I get into reading the scripture, I have lived in the dark of the world. I have lived in darkness. And I know there's a lot of us that have lived in darkness. But the good part is that Jesus is there for us, and he's there to turn that light on, right? At any given time, he'll pour that Holy Spirit out on you, and your light will be given to us. This morning, as we look at the scripture reading for the morning, it will be John, the 8th chapter, 12 through 20. And if you have your Bibles and would like to open them there, we may refer back to John, the 3rd chapter, just for a verse or two as well. That will be a little bit later on. John, the 8th chapter, Jesus is, I guess you remember here about 3 weeks ago, Brian talking and using the scripture right before it about the adulterous woman. And so he was talking about the adulterous woman in the sermon about gentleness and how gentle Jesus was. And not actually judging her, but just asking the people that brought her to him, why are you the one that's bringing her to me? You know, are y'all without sin? If you are, y'all be the first to cast the first stone. Well, you know, I keep a pocket full of rocks, mainly because my kids find one, they give them to me, you know, and they'll say, here, Brother Mike, I found you a rock. Here, Brother Mike, and I got a pocket full of them, and I like them. I love rocks. But it also puts me to that scripture each and every day. Be the first to cast the first stone. You can't, folks. We all have been in darkness. We all have things that we know that without Jesus and him being gentle and him leading us to know him, we would still be in darkness. And so Jesus is pretty much coming off of that scripture where he is talking to the lady and telling her to go and telling the accusers, you know, if you're the without sin, be the first one to throw the stone. And everybody was leaving. You remember Brian talking about how everybody left, you know. But there was a few people that hung around. And so the scripture picks up here with a few people still being there. And Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you're making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. And Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by my human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct. In every respect, I am not alone. The Father who sent me, I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Well, where is your Father? They ask. And Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury, but he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of this word, these people were gathered there in the temple, and he was there in the temple teaching. And I kind of caught that. I've always thought about it, but then I was thinking about it this week. And it says he was teaching in the treasury, which was basically the court of the women. And that was where there was 13 boxes out for you to put your collection in. There were 7 for the taxes of the temple and 6 for your free will giving. So next week when you come in, we may have 13 boxes up through there, Janice. And y'all can put in any of them that you want to put in. So we'll be sure to get it. But that was where they took up their collection. There was also candles that was burning in that part of the temple. It was always candles burning in that part of the temple. And Jesus being in that part of the temple where the candles are lit, and torches like candles and torches. So it reminded them of when he led them and with a cloud. You remember that? When they were rescued out of Egypt and he led them with a cloud. During the day, he put this cloud over them, and they followed the cloud. Now, when they come out of Egypt, he didn't take them down the main highway. You know, he didn't just load them up and say, all right, everybody, come on, let's go down the road. We're good to go. Nobody's going to bother us. No, he didn't. He led them in a roundabout way around the back way, you'd say. That's what Tammy would say. I'd call a shortcut be the back way. It's not always a shortcut, but you get to see some good scenery, you know. So that's why I like it. But he took them around the back way. And in doing so, he had this cloud by day and this fire by night. They could travel day or night. At that time, folks, it was so dark that if they didn't have this pillar of fire at night to travel by, they couldn't have seen what they were doing. They would have been totally lost as to where they were. I don't know how much y'all stay outside at night. I don't know if you enjoy being outside at night in the dark. A lot of people, when it gets dark, they want to come inside. You know, that's okay. No problem with that. But I've spent a lot of time outside at night. And I remember this one night back about 1985 that me and the guy that I was working with, we had 2 trucks on a job. And we were at the backside of nowhere. I mean, it was a place they call Hogwalla, is what they called it. And there was one little cabin way down from there that there was an old man and a lady lived there. And so we were there working on this job, and we got one truck stuck, and then we got another truck stuck. And then we were done, Randy. That's it. We was there. And there was no cell phone. You weren't going to pick up the phone and call anybody. So it was getting just dark, and we walked to that cabin and asked that old man if we could use his phone. Yep, called Tammy and told her where I was, and I told her how to get there. That's like telling you how to get to anywhere that you've never been before. So Tammy's a little directionally challenged, and I've got this in my mind that this is not going to be good, and this is going to turn out to be one of these nights I spend the night right here. And me and this other guy, we began to walk back to where our truck was. And it got darker, and it got darker. And it was hot. And it was, in that place that we were in, was infested in rattlesnakes. And them rattlesnakes would crawl out, and they would get on those rocks, And they would cool down at night, those rocks would, and they'd crawl out and get on those rocks. And we walked back to the truck. And when we got to the truck, we sat there, and we sat there, and we sat there. And I said, well, I guess we'll spend the night here, or we can walk out, maybe to the highway, and we'll try to, maybe she can find us if we get to the highway. And it was so dark, folks, that literally, this right here, you could not see it. And I remember him saying, Mike, no, I'm not leaving this truck. I'm not leaving this truck for no amount of money. I'm not walking anywhere with you. You can go if you want to. I'm not going. He said, first, I don't know when I'm in the road or when I'll be in the ditch. He said, you can't see where you're at. You can't see these snakes that we deal with every day. You can't see this. And so we decided we'd sit there in the truck. Bless her heart, she found us. It was later on, but she found us. Oh, ye a little faith. I know that's what she's thinking right now. But anyway, folks, as we sat there, I was living in darkness at that time. I wasn't living the life that I should have been living. And I began to think about that night. And I began to think about how dark it is where I'm at, that I can't see one thing. I can't see to walk out of here. I can't see to get out if I want to. I've got no choice, basically, but to stay here. And so I began to think about that. And I'm waiting on Tammy and Reva to come pick us up. And I'm thinking, I don't know if they'll figure out where we're at or not. But eventually they wandered around to the point that we saw some headlights and we knew it had to be them. Nobody else was down in there. And I knew that it was them looking for us. But folks, it brought me to thinking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is where he's talking to these people. And he is telling them that I am the light of the world. If you come to know me, if you come to have a life with me, then I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you. You're not going to have this problem of being in total darkness. And the people didn't understand because they didn't know him. I didn't understand it 100% at that time because I knew who Jesus was. I had accepted Jesus Christ, but I had walked away and just kind of got in my own little world. And as I got in my own little world, it got darker and darker and darker. And I realized that night that I'm totally dependent on Tammy and Reba finding us. And if they didn't, then we'd be spending the night there. That wasn't no big deal, but it'd just be better if she could find me and get me up out of there, you know. And that's the way that we are with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's okay in your mind that you live in this darkness because you love the darkness. I like dark. I love dark at home. I want everything to be dark. Most people don't. Most people have lights around them, security lights. I don't like that. I like darkness. But I also like to know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus knew this. And in John, the third chapter, if you flip your Bibles over to John 3, you'll see what Jesus was saying about the darkness. And we'll just look at the about the 19th verse. We'll start along there. And he tells us that the reason they love the darkness and the judgment, he's talking about judging people here, and he says the judgment is not based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. You see, folks, when we know that Jesus Christ is our guiding light, when we know that it's through Him that we are having eternal life, it's only through Him that we'll have this opportunity to have this life that He offers to us. It's not that we can just say, well, I'm going to love the darkness and I'm going to, I'll be okay. I'm going to live my life here on this earth doing what I want to do in the darkness, and then I'll deal with the light with knowing Jesus at the end. It's not like that, folks. Jesus tells us that He is the light. He says, I am the light of the world. And the people that He was talking to, they had disbelief in their heart. You ever had disbelief in your heart that what you're reading in the Bible, what Jesus is telling you, is that really going to be true, Brian? I don't know. I can't tell you it is, but I'm asking Brian, you know, is that right, Brian? And he's saying, Mike, if you're reading it and listening to it and it's talking to you, then it is true. God does not lie. God is the light of the world. And so we see that people refuse that light. They refuse it, folks, because they love darkness. They love the things of this world. We've talked about this a lot, but this is what darkness actually is. Disbelief, they did not believe that Jesus was 100% the light of the world. They didn't believe that He was the bread of life. They didn't believe that He was everything that He had said He was. They couldn't grasp that He was who He says He is because He was Joseph's son. Joseph was a carpenter. And Joseph, he grew up with Joseph and Mary. And I mean, this guy's like, he's telling us all this. And so they accuse Him. They're skeptics. They accuse Him of not telling the truth. You see, they're calling Him a liar. And He says, in your law, if you have two witnesses, and the law of yours from Deuteronomy, it tells us that if you have two witnesses, then it is the truth. Then He's saying, I have a witness besides myself. They're asking Him, do you have a witness? He said, sure I do. I have the Father. And they said, well, where's He at? He said, if you only knew Me, you would know the Father. Folks, isn't that so true? If we only know Jesus, we'll know the Father. The loving Father. We're in a time coming to the cross. We're in Lent. Coming to the cross. And in that time period, that those few weeks that we come to the cross in Lent, we're looking at not only Jesus and His walk, but we're looking at the Father who sent Him. We're looking at the Father who loved us so, so much that He would send His Son to die for us. Awesome, awesome stuff, folks. And yet, we refuse to accept. You know, I think it was such a shock to them when they realized that He was telling them that I am the light of the world. You know, if Jesus was here today and He come up here and He said, Mike, I'm going to speak a few minutes. And He said, I'm the light of the world. And you didn't know Him. You hadn't heard about Him. You never heard anything about Him. You'd be sitting there saying, well, you know, I don't know. Who is this guy? What makes him think he's the light of the world? It was a shock to him that He would come in there and even claim to know this. And so He's in the temple and the treasury with the lights, the candles, and the torches and all going. And He's saying to Himself and probably to them, y'all should know that I'm the light of the world because we led you out through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. We've been with you from day one. And everything, we took care of you and every need you had. If it hadn't have been for that pillar of fire, the fire that led y'all, you wouldn't have had a light. You'd have been in the darkness. And they were infested in snakes as well in the wilderness. We know that. And I know how it is, folks, when you've been there and done that. And yet they had God's guidance right with them. And they complained and they done everything. And we know the story very well. And so Jesus is saying to them, that you need to receive and know who I am. You see, light itself, this light right here makes this Bible where I can read it. You know, we got plenty of light up here this morning. It's just that I can't read it, wasn't it? I couldn't see it a while ago. So it makes it where I can see it. It reveals, folks, what it is that we're trying to look at. Light reveals who we are. Jesus reveals who we are when we accept Him. He knows our sins already. It just makes them come out between me and Jesus. It makes them get perfectly clear. I don't have any problem seeing them then. If I'm still in the darkness, I might not can see them and might not think about them as much because I don't want to or because I can't really see what I'm doing. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your light into the world, it reveals who you really are. So think about that. It reveals everything that you are to yourself. You know, it provides, light provides understanding. You ever think about that? It gives us understanding not only about ourselves but about Jesus that we've never had before. He is that light that gives us all of this understanding that we need. And it purifies us, folks. It makes us pure that we can accept that death, burial, and resurrection. You stop, you think about darkness, and you think, well, you know, what about the darkness? But darkness is basically obscurity. You're just obscured to what's going on, even in your life and the lives around you. You see, darkness, if you go into the house and you don't want to be seen and you want to hide from somebody, you flip out the lights at night. You can stand there in the corner and scare somebody when they come by, you know, and all that good stuff. Not that I do that, but you know how that is. But that's the way we grew up doing, wasn't it, Dick? We stayed in the dark, and we scared people all the time. But it was part of the games that we had to play. We didn't have all this electronic stuff that we have today. But darkness, it just keeps us hid, folks, and it deceives. Darkness deceives us, and, you know, it causes us to have this insecurity that we have. It causes us to harbor this insecurity inside, not tell Jesus about it. It causes us to be happy with the place that we're at, and we don't want anyone to know anything about the life that I'm really living. So I'm going to just be happy with where I'm at. And we're just going to be kind of insecure about it in our own self, in our own body. But yet, we're not telling Jesus that we need His help. We're not telling Jesus we need a light yet. You see, I know I needed a light. I knew that night we were down in that bottom, that hog wall of bottom. Them old hogs was wild down in there, and that was when you didn't have wild hogs. And they had turned a bunch loose in there, and it was like, that guy with me said, "No, Mike, there is no way I'm walking out of here. We may get eat up." And, I mean, that was because he didn't want to face what was ahead in the darkness that night. And so I ask you today, do you want to face what's ahead in the darkness? If you're in the darkness? Or do you want to come to have this light that will reveal what's around you and show you where you're at? And all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ and move forward. That's all we have to do, folks. And I know sometimes I feel like, and I'm sure Brian does too, that we're preaching to the choir because everybody here knows Jesus. Everybody does. So you say, "Well, Mike, what are you preaching to me about this for?" Well, I guarantee you, folks, I guarantee you, there's people around you every day that don't know Jesus. And it's up to us to take that word back to them. It's up to us to be that disciple, to be that light. You know, if you think about it, Matthew, I don't know, maybe 14, where Jesus told the disciples, is that correct, Brian? Jesus told the disciples, you're the light of the world, to go out. And then he says, here, then I'm the light of the world. And you think, well, now, wait a minute, this is pretty confusing. Is he telling the disciples they're the light of the world, or is he saying he's the light of the world? Folks, it's not confusing. That's us. He's telling the disciples, you're the light of the world. We're the light of the world, Grace Life Church, all the churches, wherever it might be. Those people are the light of the world, those true disciples. But what happens, folks, when on a clear day and a clear night, the sun comes up and then the moon comes out? And the moon gives night, a light at night, and the sun gives light during the day. And that moon is only a reflection of that sun. That's all it is. It's a reflection of the sun, because the sun's somewhere down here and the moon's reflecting light for us as it's coming over. You're that reflection. That's what Jesus was saying. I am the sun. I am the Son of God. But you are the reflection. You're basically the moon. And so he's saying to us, you are the disciples, the light of the world, to go out into the world. And folks, I just want us to stop and to think this morning about your light. Is your light bright? Tammy found an old flashlight I forgot all about we had. Been years since I saw that flashlight. She found it yesterday somewhere, and she brought it up there, and she said, you remember that? I said, well, Lord, I hadn't thought about that thing in forever. And she turned it on, and it worked. I said, golly, it still burns. I couldn't believe it. You know, them batteries were still good. Is your batteries good? Are they getting weak? I would have bet money that light would had some corroded batteries in it. But it still burned. And folks, that is what I want us to stop and think about. Does your light burn? Would it burn if you've been away from God for a while, been away from church for a while? You're trying to make that decision whether to come back and be the disciple that he's asked you to be. Is your battery still good, or do they just need to be recharged? You know, you have to come and hear the Word of God to be able to take that Word back into the world. You have to. You can only run so long on batteries before they run down. A car has an alternator, and it keeps your battery charged. Church, the people, the Word of God is your alternator. It's not me, it's not Brian. It's the Word of God that keeps your battery charged, that you can take it back into the world and show it to others. Hopefully, no matter where you're at, people see God in you, Christ in you, as you have your dealings every day outside the church. This morning, folks, I just want you to stop and to think that it is, I am, that makes it possible for everything we have in life. The great I am is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And for the next week or two or three, you're going to be hearing about the I am. And I just want you to know that when we talk about the I am, we're talking about Jesus, but we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's not yet poured out the Holy Spirit upon us here in the story that we're reading right now, because it's not the day of Pentecost yet. It hasn't come. But he's getting us prepared for it. He's preparing us for what is yet to come. And that's what he's doing in our lives. He's preparing us every day. As we've received the Holy Spirit, he's preparing us every day for eternal life. Think about it. I hope that you look forward to eternal life instead of thinking about it as a dread. That you look forward and that you know that the best is yet to come. And that's the way God wants us to live our life, through his Son, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.